Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hog Slobber Podcast. As always, this is Doc Harper, and with me is the Ink Warrior, Chris Bond. Chris, how you doing tonight, man?
Hey man, doing well. Just counting down the days until this awful football season's over.
Have you made Hey Grude your phone ringtone yet?
I refuse to even watch. Like, I'm aware of the video, but I refuse to watch.
You're still refusing to watch it.
Yeah, that's the great thing about no longer operating a statewide sports blog, is that I don't have to subject myself to stuff like that, voluntarily. So I refuse to watch it. Plus, I don't care how good it is. It can't top Liz Honey.
It doesn't top Liz Honey. It's taken much more seriously. There's like three guys and they harmonize and they actually do a decent job. And I'm not even a big Beatles fan, so it doesn't upset me that they're making a sacrilegious ode to John Gruden by using this song. But I was showing it to my wife and she thought, well, that's better than you would think. Just hearing the name of it and thinking it's just another fan video that's like, oh god, another Liz Honey. But no, they actually put effort to it.
I've had several people that have hit me up on Twitter or even a member of my family sent me a message on Facebook to let me know, that, hey, this actually isn't that bad, which is fine, but I'm not going to watch it. I refuse to get sucked into the John Gruden silliness. I'm not doing it.
Well, we're recording this Monday night after the Mississippi State game during LSU week, Thanksgiving week, and today was the big day because our good friend Jim Harris tweeted out that John Gruden has actually gotten an offer to be the head coach at Arkansas, and he's been blowing up all over Twitter. We put a blog post about it on Expats, and it's gotten like thousands of views just in the last few hours since we put it up. But he also been on the radio later on and said he really doesn't think there's much of a chance Gruden's going to actually take the job. So what do you think about all this?
I don't know. I don't know whether an offer was there or not. I know that I remain about 99.999% sure that John Gruden will not be the coach at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So there's that. I just for so many reasons. It doesn't make sense that he would leave a job where he works half the year, to start working year round, 80 hours a week. And taking a pay cut when you take out the endorsement money plus the Monday Night Football money that he would lose. And we've discussed this before. You've written a column on it, which I wholeheartedly endorse. I don't understand what the fascination is with him. And so maybe my judgment's clouded a little bit because of that, but I don't get the fascination at all. Missed that column? Can you kind of explain to people what I'm getting to?
So you're saying you do not want John Daly's drinking buddy to be the head coach of the Razorbacks?
No. I'll tell you, I would love to go sit and have a beer, probably, with John Gruden. I think that would be fun. But in terms of turning over a top 25 football program to a guy who has no college coaching experience and has never recruited, and as you pointed out, presided over one of the worst collapses in NFL history.
Yeah, that's what the NFL or the ESPN story that reported his firing said about his last year at Tampa Bay. And the gist of my column that you mentioned was just kind of like you said, you know, he was great in the Super Bowl when they won with the Buccaneers, and he's great on Monday Night Football, and he does seem like a really cool guy. He's real energetic, real charismatic. But when you look at, like, the traits of most of the really successful coaches around the country, he doesn't really fit that bill. You know, he's not as tuned in and methodical as your Nick Sabans and Bob Stoops and Gary Pattersons and all these guys around the country who, Jim Tressel, who were really, really successful at their job. He just doesn't quite feel like that. Because, and I really believe that there's such a huge difference between being an NFL coach and a college coach, and most people seem to take that for granted, that it's basically the same, but it's really not. You know, if you're an NFL coach, you don't recruit. You have a general manager who manages your player personnel, and the coach has some input, normally, but ultimately it's not his call. And you don't have to deal with NCAA regulations, you don't have to deal with boosters, you don't have to deal with fundraising, you don't have to deal with any of that stuff. You don't have to deal with meddling parents, anything like that. And so to come in and manage all these young kids, then and all this other stuff, and recruiting, it's such a completely different mentality. And when you look at the guys who are successful doing it, they're all basically, for the most part, they're the same types of people. And there's a couple of, they're not all the same. I mean, you can point out your, you know, Les Miles doesn't necessarily seem like that, or Pete Carroll doesn't necessarily seem like that. But, you know, Pete Carroll, when USC was dominant, they were the only really good program on the entire West Coast. And it was USC. It was on the beach. It was, you know, Pete Carroll was just having a good time. He didn't have much competition. You know, it's not that way here. And I do think that in the short term, it would put Arkansas in the spotlight. A lot of people would be talking about Arkansas. He very well may be a fantastic recruiter at the college level, at least initially. But if he doesn't start winning games quickly, that's all going to go away really, really fast.
Yeah, I think it would take about 12 minutes for someone in the national media to go, this guy is barely above 500 as an NFL coach. He's never recruited in his life. And Arkansas is paying him $6 million a year.
Making him the highest paid coach in the country.
Ever. History of football. I just have a really, really hard time thinking. I don't think fans are through, and I don't think the national media would be particularly kind to the hire. And I don't, you know, in terms of recruiting, would he get you in a door? Probably, but could he close the deal? I don't know. And you know, I got into an argument with a buddy who was like, well, he's the most recognizable, you know, name in football. You know, high school kids would immediately recognize his name. To which my reply was, well, you know who's even better known among high school, you know, recruits? John Madden, because of the Madden video game. And I don't see anybody wanting to pay John Madden $6 million a year to come coach at Arkansas, right?
Well, Gruden's also like 30 years younger.
Yeah.
But I get your point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, it all comes back to, for fans, they know he drinks beer, you know, with John Daly at Hooters, and that seems like the kind of thing they would like to do, you know. But how does that qualify him to coach football? I don't know. I don't understand. You know what? Maybe he gets hired at Arkansas, Maybe he winds up at Tennessee and he wins, you know, he wins a national championship. I don't know. And then we record one of the, come out and I go like, you know what? I was an idiot. I should have known that Gruden was great. But I do not see it. I would rather have John Madden. Seriously.
I tried to make it clear in my column. I'm not saying for sure that he wouldn't work, but he's not a guaranteed thing. And I don't think that it's necessarily the smart thing to do to offer that kind of money for the next several years to a guy who has never coached a game in college. To me, it's the same as like in an NFL when they, you know, would give whoever the first draft pick is $50 million, and they ended up having a labor argument about that because so often it didn't work out.
Right. Yeah, it just and it goes against everything, you know, that Jeff Long has said and talked about from the beginning, which is, you know, being a good steward of the money that you know that the fans give, you know, making smart financial decisions, and I don't think paying Gruden $6 million a year, you know. But I don't think that fits the bill. And I think what it boils down to ultimately, I think John Daly is trying to help his buddy, you know, John Gruden out, keep his name in the news, keep that buzz going. And Daly, you know, either Daly is willingly just trying to help his buddy out. Or maybe Gruden has really led him to believe he's interested. But I just, that's my gut, is that's where this all stems from.
Maybe Arkansas is just trying to make Tennessee spend more money.
Yeah. I mean, which Tennessee has like $14 in reserve. They have no money. they're paying buyouts for Phil Fulmer.
Are they still paying for Fulmer?
Yeah, Bruce Pearl.
I know they're paying for Pearl still.
I think they're still paying John Newland. I think they're still paying his buyout. Maybe even Johnny Majors. but they have no money. They have like $12 in the bank. So what better way to get them than to force them into a bidding war for a non-existent candidate?
Well, speaking of getting people a lot of money, Jeff Long got his raise and extension. It was announced on Friday, and there's been a little chatter about this. Personally, I thought it was really weird that they announced it on Friday afternoon, because typically you only release information that you think people will not like. You know,
right.
It news that you don't want necessarily to get people talking about a lot on Friday afternoon. And so my initial impression was that they know that this season has gone so horribly, and Jeff Long has lost so much of his appreciation amongst the fan base, that they wanted to release this on Friday afternoon. And there were a lot of people out there who said, well, you know, they wouldn't give Jeff Long a raise and extension if he didn't already have a coach in the bag, and this is just like a stamp of approval of whoever the new coach is going to be. I don't necessarily buy that.
Oh, yeah, I just, it's my understanding that the raise was in the works a month or so back. And so I don't think this is an indication that he has his coach. I do think it's possibly an indication, you know, that they will let candidates know that Jeff is going to be around.
Right.
Because, you know, that's big. You want to know who your boss is, right?
Right. It's the same reason coaches get raises and extensions almost every year, so they can go and tell recruits, yeah, I'll be here for the next 5 years. You don't have to worry about anything.
Yep. Exactly. The timing of it is a little weird. Even more odd, and I didn't even draw attention to this on Twitter Saturday, for a multitude of reasons, but primarily within about 4 hours of Arkansas getting destroyed in Mississippi State, U of A released a statement from Jeff Long saying, you know, he was thankful that Chancellor Gerhardt loves it at Arkansas. Well, why he couldn't do that the day that his raise was announced, I'll never know. And part of the reason that I didn't put it out there is it felt so much like trolling to me, and he's done this before, and I don't know that it's intentional, but I just don't think in the hour after a bad football loss, you know, is when the AD needs to be coming out and going, hey, by the way, I'm going to be here for like 100 more years. So, you know.
Well, maybe that just means he'll announce the coach about 30 minutes after the end of the LSU game.
Well, yeah, we could all live with that. That would make sense. But you know what I mean? It was just another one of those.
Yeah, I only saw one mention of it on Twitter. And it wasn't even by an Arkansas person. It was by a Sports Illustrated writer.
Right.
And so I thought that was weird. Like, after I saw it on her feed, I went and looked through, like, all the Arkansas people, and I couldn't find a single mention of it. Obviously, they were all still working after the football game. But still, I just thought that was... It was just weird. The whole raise and extension and that letter and everything, it was all just weird to me. It seemed just like they wanted to bury it as much as possible. So the people who they wanted to know, which would be just like probably the media people and the people who were normally in the know, they would all know about it, but the fans, the general, you know, fan base, they wouldn't pay much attention to it because they know how the fans are, you know, treating Jeff Long right now.
Right. Well, I do know there was some chatter about it, and I was one of at least four media people who had put in a Freedom of Information Act request. So, you know, I think they were continuing on to that information for a little while. Now, why they went ahead and did it on Friday when they typically... I mean, I won't bore people with a FOIA seminar, but 72 hours is generally the maximum amount of time that they can to fulfill a request when the documents are really available. They rarely follow the law. They just kind of make up their own timetable as they go along. So, you know, I don't know what it would have killed them to wait another couple days, even though there were several FOIA requests in, but they went ahead and released it. You know, they did it at 4:40 on a Friday, is beyond me. So, if you're listening, feel free to log in and let us know in the comments section why you waited until Friday at 4:45 when I was on my way to a cabin in Jasper for my mom's birthday.
I was in a movie theater.
Yeah, what were you seeing?
I went to see with my wife the Twilight movie. I did. She's dragged me to all of them, so I wanted to go ahead and see the last one.
You're a better man than I am. I have seen none of them, and I plan to watch none of them.
They're so much fun. The special effects are so awful. It's like watching an old B movie that you watch just to make fun of it. And there's, you know, you go down through like the checklist, like. In football, they've come through all the drinking games, you know, that are popular online now. And, like, and you just check them off. And it's a good time if you don't take it too seriously. I don't take it too seriously.
Right.
I was hoping a lot of them would die in the last battle.
I've never seen a whole one. I have occasionally been in the room, and we may have discussed before, if not on the podcast and in real life. Been in the room when one of those movies was on. I think they run a loop on TBS now, is it?
And one of those channels.
It's all like bad lighting and heavy breathing and dudes without shirts. I don't...
And the wolves are just... The special effects on the wolves are just awful.
Oh, it's really bad.
It might have been like state-of-the-art like 20 years ago. Like, up there with Independence Day or something.
Yeah, but apparently that's what's hot in the streets for the ladies. So,
but we were gonna do a double feature. That was part of it. We were gonna go see Lincoln afterwards, but Lincoln was sold out, unfortunately. So we went home. But
yeah.
Oh, but we mentioned Twitter a minute ago, and I wanted to bring this up. You and I are both big fans of Twitter. It's one of our favorite things. There was a thing, was it at Washington, where they started imposing a media limit on tweeting during games?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't I don't know. That seems silly. And also, they did it. It was an awful game. It wasn't even like a relevant game. It was like a game that you would think that it would want, you know, would want attention for. So,
and how would you even enforce that? Like,
yeah,
is there someone, you know, some low-level staffer counting tweets by various people in the press box throughout the game?
Yeah, I guess so. And then, like, the other thing I want to know, so I didn't count my total number of tweets yesterday, but I tweeted from the Arkansas Longwood game, and I got to thinking, so I arrive and I send out the obligatory, you know, I'm at the arena, here's the awful crowd photo. So does that start the timer? Like, is that number one? And then I made a tweet later about how the arena smelled like burnt popcorn. So does that count in my total?
I would think that one would count, yeah.
Okay.
Because that was at least during the game, right?
It was still before tip-off.
Oh, okay. Well, because I would think the main question, if I was at a Washington game, would be, does that start at kickoff, or does it start from the moment I enter the press box?
City, that's a great question. Their rule, too, is like 40, I think it was 45 for a football game and 20 for a basketball game. And that just, it just strikes me as an incredible number of in-game tweets. That's a lot.
It can be, but that also might not include, like, replies. Because on Twitter, like, every time you just reply to somebody, that counts as a tweet.
Right.
So, you know, that those can add up. Retweets, that counts. That kind of stuff can add up.
Oh, it adds up. It adds up quick. And so, you know, former Razorback Drew Smiley, who's now a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, he was at the game. Somebody tweeted about it. I retweeted that. Is that part of my in-game total?
That's what I'm saying. Twitter counts that as a tweet.
Right.
Like on your total tweet number that they have, that counts.
So are they doing that? Is there like a staffer that logs on at tip-off and like marks what everyone's tweet number is and then comes back at the end and goes, oh, well, according to Twitter, you sent 21. We're going to have to ban you now.
It's so weird because, you know, in the times that I've been at the press tables, there's basically two types of sports writers who attend games like this. There's those who still are more old school and they write down like every single play on their notepad, like they're keeping their own stats. And then there are people like me who, you know, have their laptops open and have, you know, Twitter going, and big plays or things you take note of, you'll, you know, write them down on a notepad or on a Word document or something. And
right.
But they do such a good job now of keeping all the stats for you, so I don't really even worry about that. But it is a good way to, because you do have access to those stats and, you know, conversations you have with other people at the table that of relaying that information. It's one of the cool things about being in the press box. And, you know, if they don't want people doing that too much, then I just don't understand what the point is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird time that we're in with social media and trying to figure out all the, you know, how to use it effectively. I do think tweet every single play from game.
Yeah.
I think should be banned from the profession forever.
And I like to think most people don't have any followers.
Yeah. But there is someone in the state that covers a program who tweets every play from every game. Where do you...
Oh,
and it is the worst.
And clearly I don't follow them because I don't know who you're talking about.
No, you don't.
But where do you come down on players having Twitter accounts? A lot of people think players shouldn't have Twitter accounts. And I'm interested to know what you think. I'll tell you what I think.
I've gone back on this. I think I'm probably in favor of this. Is I don't know where I stand on it. I think if you are going to allow them to have it, I think they should be all set to private, and I think they should be heavily censored. You know, coaches have rules about players going to, you know, like going to the bar in season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know why monitoring social media use, you know, would be viewed any differently. I think a coach, you know, if he wants to set a rule, I think he's within his rights. You know, but I don't know. I'm pretty wishy-washy. I could be talked into one side or the other, honestly.
I'm for them having Twitter accounts. You know who I really like, or which school I really like what they're doing with it?
What?
Is USC. They're actively promoting their players' Twitter accounts.
Right.
And I think that's really cool because they can say, you know, we know what it is, and we're going to put you out there. We're going to make sure you're out there. We're going to make sure everybody knows what you're tweeting. Because, you know, we're not going to sit back and pretend that, you know, we're hoping that you're not going to say anything silly. Because if they do, you know, even if they're not promoted like they are at USC, like if they're at Arkansas, you tweet something that you're not supposed to, it's going to get retweeted instantly and everybody's going to know about it.
Right.
And at USC, they're, to me anyway, what they're saying is, we're going to put you out there, we're going to help make you a star, but also know, we're going to put you out there, and if you say something you're not supposed to say, we're going to know. And I think that's exactly what they need to do with it. I really like that.
Yeah, that's probably a better way to handle it than the alternative, which is just to, you know, ban it and not allow it. I think it's a great way, if it's used correctly, it's a great way, you know, for them to connect with fans.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that, and this isn't unique just to students or to, you know, to athletes, college athletes. I see adults that do this all the time, even adults in you know, the writing profession. They'll start a Twitter account, and they'll really, you know, be hot and heavy with it, and then they'll tail off with it, and they'll stop using it. It'll just sit dormant for months.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't think there are a lot of... I think in a lot of cases, I don't think the athletes are equipped to use them, because they're not prepared for the demand and the time that it takes.
Right.
So if you're not going to use it and be active with it, then what's the point of having it?
Right.
They're
not forcing the kids to have it at USC, as far as I know. But
right.
They're just saying, if you do, let us know, or we'll find out, and we'll promote it.
Yeah. And that probably does cut down on it a little bit. On the tomfoolery.
Yeah, you'd think, especially being in a place like Los Angeles, there would be ample opportunities.
Yes.
For tomfoolery.
I do know Arkansas within the last couple weeks brought in a group to do like a social media seminar.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I was actually going to do some sort of column or story on that, and then Arkansas Business Publishing Group pulled the plug, Arkansas 360. So that story got put on hold for a little while.
Well, any thoughts on the LSU game?
Yes. My thought is the sooner it's over, the closer Arkansas will be having a permanent coach, and the season will be over. That's my one thought.
Oh, man. From the time that game is over until the new coach is hired, it's going to be crazy. There's going to be so much pressure and rumors, and, God, it's going to be nuts.
Yep. The key to staying sane during all of that is this. Just remember that everyone involved in the coaching search, from the AD to the coaches to the agents, the assistant coaches, everybody's got some sort of agenda, and so it's really hard for media to kind of filter through all that they hear. And sometimes they'll talk to someone who normally gives them really reliable information, and it winds up being wildly inaccurate. It's a hard time to be a sports writer when everything is going on. So, God bless every sports writer who's having to deal with this.
Well, it's Thanksgiving. Do you do your Christmas? Do you wait until after Thanksgiving to do all your Christmas stuff, or do you go ahead and do it?
Christmas shopping.
Not shopping, but like decorations, music, that sort of thing.
As late as possible. And I'll just leave it at that. I'll say this: I'm not big on decorating for anything.
Where do you stand on Christmas music? Do you have any special like albums or anything that you like?
No, I like Christmas music. On maybe as early as Christmas Eve, certainly no later than Christmas Day. And, I tend to like, the more, the traditional songs. I
listen to Kermit Ruffins is a jazz guy down in New Orleans. I like his Christmas album, a lot of trumpet music.
Okay.
And Bob Dylan actually has a pretty solid Christmas album. Just came out a couple of years ago.
Really?
So is his older, smoke-infused voice. It's just not his young voice at all. It's
right.
Bob Dylan now, and I like some of it. And, of course, Elvis. Elvis doing anything, I'm up for it.
Is there a Prince Christmas album? Has that happened?
Not an album. He has done a song called Another Lonely Christmas. It's on the Hits and B-Sides album.
Okay. See, I knew you would know that.
Thanks a lot for coming on, Chris. Enjoyed it. And hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds great, man. Happy Thanksgiving, and I hope for Thanksgiving we all get to get a new football coach to talk about. That's my Thanksgiving wish.
That would be great. All right. Thanks for listening, you got everybody out there. If you want to subscribe to our podcast to make sure you don't miss an episode, as always, go to the Arkansas Expats iTunes account and subscribe. And if you have a topic you'd like for me or Chris to talk about, feel free to tweet us or send us an email, and we'll get it on the show. But until next time, thanks for listening. Don't you ever be sad.